Very excited for our next guest here. Garrett Podell of CBS Sports. This guy had an unbelievable prediction on the Steeler game the other day. If only I could find it. And I just had it here. I just had it right in front of me. Limits. Now you can read Garrett's stuff at CBSSports.com. He basically called the game the other day. Why don't you tell us exactly what you said, Garrett? I had this in front of me 2 seconds ago, and now I can't find it. You were right on the money.
Hey, Austin, thank you so much for having me. And while you may not have my written prediction in front of you, you got me right here, and so let me give it to you. Thank you so much for having me on. And yes, so this week
I have it, Garrett.
Have it.
And by the way, this is Joe. Austin is the guy who was on the phone before, but now this is Joe.
Joe, great to be talking with you.
Yeah, you're going to be talking to both of us. We both have questions. Here was Garrett's prediction before the game, and I quote, "The Steelers' offense and the Giants' offense are similarly structured in that they have mobile quarterbacks, Daniel Jones and Justin Fields, who struggle throwing over the middle with confidence and efficiency. Dallas wins in a slugfest, just like it did in Week 4, with all-pro kicker Brandon Aubrey and Prescott making one more play than their Pittsburgh counterparts. Cowboys 20, Steelers 19. Very nice, Garrett. Very nice.
Thank you. Off on the final score by 2 points. But, yeah, to me, I look at the Steelers, I look at the New York Giants, and just overall as teams, they're similarly structured, in my opinion. You mentioned the quarterback piece of it. Offensive lines could use some work. Both have great front sevens. Dexter Lawrence and Cam Hayward, both great in the interior for the respective teams. Brian Burns, T.J. Watt, Pro Bowl edge rushers. And on the other side, Kayvon Thibodeau, Alex Highsmith for the Steelers. They're just really similarly structured, but teams that offensively just can't quite make a play and don't have enough game breakers outside of one wide receiver, Malik Nabers for the Giants and George Pickens for the Steelers. And so I looked at this from the perspective of the Cowboys are a team that simply have the better quarterback in Dak Prescott. And a lot of these games, when it's close, you just look at it and say, which quarterback do I think is going to make one more play? I thought it was going to be Dak Prescott, and he certainly did on the fourth and goal play from the 4-yard line with 20 seconds left. And even though it was an hour and a half delayed, whatever, we were all up super late. Yeah, it was kind of cool to see it all play out how I thought.
What'd you think of Justin Fields? And if you were Mike Tomlin, would you go to a healthy Russell Wilson against the Raiders?
I did see that Russell Wilson, I believe, is practicing in a full participation for the first time this season. I would go to Russell Wilson personally. Well, it just depends on what your goals are, right? If the Steelers are a team that is trying to make the playoffs, I would go to Russell Wilson because I think the passing component of the game has a higher ceiling with someone like Russell Wilson. And even though he's years removed from being the 9-10-time Pro Bowler he was at the Seattle Seahawks, I think he elevates your passing game. But if your goal is to be a little more long-term focused, I would keep throwing Fields in there. He's someone who has definitely shown improvement this season with reps, incredibly athletic, and I think he has gotten better as a passer this year. But to me, he just seems to be still a second late when trying to throw over the middle and maybe into some tighter windows. He's still great throwing to the outside. But in today's NFL, you got to be able to threaten the defense and stress, you know, the inside linebackers and stress the slot corners, safeties, throwing over the middle. And especially when you have someone like Pat Freiermuth, who he caught all of his targets, I believe, but he only had 3. I think it was like 3 for 18 and a touchdown. I just don't think you're going to maximize Freiermuth and some of the over-the-middle stuff you want to run with Fields at quarterback this season. But if you want to just, you know, be more long-term, just keep giving him reps.
Garrett Podell from CBS Sports Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. All right, the Steelers apparently are in on Devontae Adams, Garrett. Where do you think he winds up and when?
I mean, that makes a ton of sense, right? They were in on Brandon Ayuk until the very end, and then he looked around and said, I'm probably not going to find a better situation in San Francisco. The difference between Ayuk and Adams is Adams is looking around and saying, I don't really like my mediocre quarterback options here between Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew, and neither does head coach Antonio Pierce, because he hasn't even named a starter for this week's game because he's confused about which guy could maybe give him the edge or more of a boost, I guess you could say, between the two options. Obviously, there were some rumors about him maybe going to the Jets or going to the Saints because of his two buddies, Derek Carr and Aaron Rodgers, on those teams. But now Carr's hurt, and the New York Jets are mired in dysfunction right now. I think if the Jets can get their act together and maybe win another game or two, the trade deadline isn't until early November, I would see him going to the Jets if they can get their act together. But look, if the Steelers can show they're competitive, maybe they put Russell Wilson in the passing game, looks like it has a little more life to it, perhaps Devontae Adams is okay going to Pittsburgh. But right now, I would say the Jets, and I don't know, if the Washington Commanders are a team, they were in the pursuit for Ayuk this offseason. If they look around and think they can contend right away with how great Jaden Daniels has played, maybe they throw their hat in the ring. But I would say Pittsburgh's certainly a contender. I wouldn't say they're in the top two options if you're thinking about who's on Adams' list.
Garrett, it's Austin here. There's a lot going on with George Pickens right now between the message that was written on his eye black during the game. His effort level is being questioned when running routes. What do you notice when you watch George Pickens play, and how big of a concern do you think it is for the Steelers?
Yeah, I think the moment of his that stood out the most was, you know, when the game was over, him and Cowboys slot corner Jordan Lewis were going back and forth all game long, and he throws Lewis down by his face mask after the whistle in frustration, and I think that kind of encapsulated his entire night. I saw the quote that Mike Tomlin said, we want to up his efficiency by, you know, not having him out there as much or something like that, which was puzzling to me because he's clearly the Steelers' best, most explosive wide receiver. I don't understand why you'd want your best passing game option not on the field all the time. That just doesn't compute for me. I think you see somebody who is a little frustrated with the quarterback situation. We touched on Fields earlier. I think he probably runs some routes, and he probably feels that he is open, but that the football doesn't come his way enough when he puts forth the effort to be open. So I think you're just seeing frustration starting to simmer, and on some routes late in the game, he was kind of running head down or a little, I don't think you can say half-heartedly. It's NFL football. If you run half speed, you're going to get hurt, but just not with the same intensity as maybe earlier in the game. And I think that just boils down to the quarterback situation, where you expect Fields to scramble or just simply throw outside or check it down a lot of the time based on where he is in his development as a passer.
So we're 5 weeks in now with Arthur Smith's new offense, and a lot of the same questions remain, especially around Najee Harris, George Pickens. Do you think it's the personnel, or do you think it's the scheme that's holding the Steelers' offense back?
I think it's a combination of those things, right? Because I don't think any one of us would say, I like where the Steelers' offensive line is. And so much of an offense's success boils down to, in both the pass game and the running game, are you blocking guys up? Are you opening holes for your running backs? Are you giving your quarterback time to drop back and pass? Because I think just a big contrast between on Sunday night, the Cowboys and the Steelers, was Rico Dowdle, the Cowboys running back, who's an undrafted veteran. He had the best night of his career on Sunday. And if you just look at the line play on his runs versus some of Najee's runs, it just seemed like the holes were a lot bigger for Dowdle and Dallas when they were running the football versus the Steelers. So to me, I think it's a little bit personnel. And look, at the end of his time in Atlanta, no one was accusing Arthur Smith of elevating his talent with innovative play calling. And it almost became a meme that the third or second string tight end, whether it be Jonnu Smith in Atlanta last year or Connor Hayward, who caught a touchdown on Sunday, we're getting more red zone looks than, say, a Drake London or a George Pickens. So I'd say it's a combination of both. I'd say it's a scheme that is relying on the players to make plays, isn't necessarily helping them out from an innovation perspective, and offensive line's not great, which has a trickle-down effect on everything you want to do.
All right, Garrett. Limits, may I engage Garrett in a game of free association?
Yes, you may.
Let's spice this up a little, Garrett, shall we? Are you a willing participant in this?
Always. Let's do it. Let's get spicy.
Five words or less here, including one word, if you like. We're going to go around the NFL. Did the Jets make the right move in firing Robert Saleh?
No, the OC is the problem.
Tua's going to come back and lead Miami to the playoffs.
Doubtful.
I like that. I like that a lot. Josh Allen's taking too many hits.
Yes, he needs to trust his receivers to get the ball out quicker.
The Baltimore Ravens will win the AFC North.
Yeah, I feel good about that.
The Steelers are a playoff team.
Check back with me in a few weeks.
The Cleveland Browns have completely fallen apart, and they're a laughingstock again.
Yes.
How many more?
Deshaun Watson scenario is an embarrassment.
How many? I just read where Deshaun Watson has more accusations against him than touchdown passes since he arrived in Cleveland. But anyway, how much longer for Deshaun Watson in Cleveland?
As long as Jimmy Haslam allows.
Kansas City Chiefs will host the AFC title game again.
Yes, they're zombies and they win no matter what.
Washington Commanders are for real?
Check back with me next week.
I can't afford to keep checking back with you, Garrett. I need answers right now. Do you believe in Jaden Daniels and that team?
I do. I think they can make the playoffs.
Do you believe in the Vikings?
Yes.
Who's the MVP of the league right now?
That's a tough one. I think if you're going by stats, it's going to sound crazy, Sam Darnold.
That's Limit Sky here. He loves Sam Darnold.
I've always believed in Darnold.
Davante Adams winds up where?
The New York Jets.
Thank you, Garrett. I have no further questions, and thank you for taking the time today, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me on. Happy to chat with you guys anytime.
That's Garrett Padel, CBS Sports. Read his stuff at cbssports.com. Those delays had me worried on his answers, Limits, didn't they?
He was thinking.
I know. He was thinking, but I pressed him a little bit. You can't come back with we have no time to check back with him, right?
Yeah.
We need opinions right now. He's good. Read his stuff on Twitter. Very good. Had a great prediction on the game. Coming up, the big boy, Mark Cavalli. I have lots of questions for him. He's spoken to George Pickens many times. What does he make of the whole Pickens situation? Does he believe that Pickens will get another contract? And does he believe Russell Wilson's next start is this weekend? Next weekend? Any weekend coming up? Let's talk to that guy. Mark Cavalli from the Pat McAfee Show joins us. He's on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Is he ready to go? We ready? Limits? You on? No? He's not ready to go. All right, my first question for him is Russell Wilson. If he's healthy, does he play? He's good? All right, let's ask him that question. If Russell Wilson is healthy, does he play this weekend, Mark?
Hold on a second. I'm not allowed to speak until I actually leave the facility of the practice field. 2 seconds in. All right, what was the question again? Russell.
Healthy Russell in or out?
Healthy Russell, I still think, will be out for one more week. I really don't believe in the quick pull either that maybe some might be suggesting of Justin Fields. I don't think you can approach him like you would approach Mitch Trubisky, because you might have to do business with Justin down the road. So I think they're going to give Justin one more opportunity. And I don't even know if anything could stand in the way of Russell playing next week against the Jets. So I think it's just his last hurrah. but that's just me personally, what I've heard, known, said, watched. So
interesting. So if Justin Fields comes out and they roll up 37 points in this game and he's some combination of Steve Young and Michael Vick, he sits the bench next week?
Joe, when was the last time they rolled up 37 points on anybody?
Okay. I'm saying if that happens.
Yeah, and if I lose 200 pounds, I'll be a male model, right?
If Justin Fields has a great game, he's not playing the next week, correct?
I don't think so. No. Okay. Yes, I think so. I think Tomlin, I mean, say what it is. I mean, we pretty much got a pretty good snapshot of what this offense looks like under Justin Fields. It's not like it's going to get markedly better. We don't 100% know what it looks like under Russell Wilson. We would assume or could possibly be more than 17, 18 points a game, more helping the run game out. For me, personally, I would like to see Russell out there and see if he could kickstart the offense and take some of those reins off of Arthur Smith and let him do what they thought they were going to do back in March.
I mean, when I look at the Indy game, if Pickens doesn't drop the ball at the 3-yard line and if Tomlin lets his kicker kick, that's a 30-point game. You know, and the week before that, if they don't, it was their choice not to have 27 points. They basically had the ball at the 1 at the end of the game. So two of their last 3 games, to me, they've been worthy of a 30-point offense by the way they moved the ball. You know, I just think if Fields has a great game, it's at least a difficult decision. But you're saying that Tomlin has it in his mind that Russell's going to play no matter what.
I do. I believe that.
Then let me ask you this, Mark. He's been cleared for 2 weeks in a row. This would be 3 weeks of good health. Why isn't he playing now?
Well, first of all, they were winning 3-0, right? Number two is you have to be 100% plus maybe another 20% sure that Russell's not going to re-injure that, because when they put him in, they don't really want to yank him out for an injury right now. So they are being overly cautious, and they can be overly cautious because Fields was being able to produce some wins. But you're getting to the point where now is there's a ton of tape now on Justin Fields of how the Steelers are using him, and I would assume that they assume that it's just going to get tougher and tougher for him. I throw that Colts game totally out of there, because through 2.5-3 quarters, you were questioning yourself, or in general questioning, if Justin Fields was going to get yanked because he wasn't playing so well. When you're down 17 points or whatever it was early, things tend to loosen up a little bit. So he hasn't been terrible, but he hasn't been great either. I think the unknown is the big attraction for Russell Wilson. Maybe he comes in and stinks it up, but I at least want to see it.
Wait. In your evaluation of Justin Fields, you throw out a game in which he had 370 yards of offense and accounted for 3 touchdowns?
I throw out because through 2.5 of those quarters, you're scratching your head saying, geez, this isn't very good right now. And at the end of the game, when you had a chance to win, his last 3 plays should have been picked, fumble, and should have been picked. So, yeah, I'm throwing that out as a circumstantial. You know, teams aren't going to take a lot of risks when you're up 17-0 at the home, or whatever it was, 14-0, 17-3, whatever it was, at home. So I'm not going to totally throw it out and say it doesn't count, but I think there was a reason for such success.
Holy horse follicles. Limits?
That's fascinating. Mark, you joined the morning show on Monday, and through the eyes of your binoculars, saying what you saw with our friend George Pickens on the sidelines, or where do the Steelers go from here with Pickens? Do you think that's been speculated that maybe there could be a trade at some point with Pickens? Nah. Where do the Steelers go from here?
I don't think they trade. No, I don't even think that's on the table, to be honest with you. Maybe in the offseason, maybe you reevaluate that, but not now. I mean, I don't think they look at George Pickens and see there's that much of a problem, even though we all know there is some sort of a problem, because he keeps harping on this load management malarkey, and we know that that's just made up. I mean, there's no wide receiver in the history of the game is on a pitch count. So there's something going on. If I'm George, I'm probably a little bit mad too, because I think I should be out there. But George is doing it on to himself too by dogging plays in the Colts game, dogging plays last week as well. So it's a weird dynamic. And I also think that Tomlin approaches him a little differently than a lot of the other players. Tomlin always says, I'll treat everybody fairly, but I'm not going to treat them the same. I think George has a little bit of that fragile psyche that you just can't come out and rip him publicly, and he's going to respond to that. So I think that's why Tomlin goes the way he goes. And I wouldn't be shocked if Pickens has a big game this week, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but that wouldn't prove anybody wrong by saying this problem's increasing. I mean, Tomlin has a reputation of being the Pied Piper with these guys. The fact of the matter is, with these star receivers, once they go south, he is unable to bring them back. And I can go back to Santonio, Antonio, Martavis, Chase, Deontay, and now this guy. So the only question for me that matters really isn't what Pickens will do against the Raiders. It's, do you want to sink tens of millions of dollars into him? Do you think George Pickens is a good investment? Do you think the Steelers believe he's a good investment?
Probably not right now, no. Absolutely not. I mean, he hasn't been able to prove that he's that type of a receiver that deserves that big money. Now, let's see where that money's at now. I mean, $10, $12 million is average money for wide receivers. I'm sure he's well worth that, but I wouldn't say the upper echelon wide receiver one or wide, those type of numbers. But back to your original point, people are, social media, wherever, are saying, you guys are blowing this out of proportion with George Pickens. You know what my retort to that was? If it was a one-person example, then five. You just rattled off five different guys that have very similar track records that George Pickens is going down to. So maybe we are overreacting, but there's a reason for overreacting, because we've seen it year after year after year with star receivers going down this route, then it ends up bad. So anything he does is going to be scrutinized, and rightfully so, because of what we've seen here the past 10, 12 years.
Limits?
Mark, I feel like we're not talking about Patrick Queen enough. The impact has just not been good enough from Queen. Do you think so?
No, it's not. He needs to be able to make some more plays than he has. That's why they brought him in here. I mean, I know he's a 100% three-down snap type of guy, and that's valuable in its way, but he has to make some plays. But in that position, you need help, too. I mean, you have to have the defensive lineman keep you off you, or you're not going to make many plays. But absolutely right. He has to make more plays. Minka has to make more plays, especially now when you're going Jeremiah Moon and Ikey and Okey on the outside, or what's their names again, Joe?
I don't know. I don't know who they are. Do you have that little clip of Ikey and Okey? It sounds like a cartoon.
Man, it's a big day, maybe for some edge rushers like Ade and Eko, man, who just got here.
Ade and Eko.
Who are they?
I have no idea. I didn't even know they played on their team. I just got a new, it's very unusual that you show up to practice and they give you a brand new roster. That's how much turnover has been on this roster. I'm trying to look for Edie and Oko. I don't even know who he's talking about.
I don't know. Nobody does.
It's somebody... a big day, maybe for some edge rushers like Ade and Eko, man, who just got here.
Are these guys that were in the parking lot when he pulled in? He just invited them in?
Eko's his first name. Ade's his first name. I didn't know that. That's both of their first names. That's not their last names. I thought it was their last names. They're on the practice squad. They just came in. I don't know who they are.
Amazing stuff. Mark Cabali from the Pat McAfee Show here on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Man, there's so many different topics here. Mark, let's talk leadership in the room. Yeah. It used to be, I thought they had a great room back in the James Farrier, Joey Porter days. Then I thought they were an overrated leadership room in the 2010s. And now, I think Cam leads by example, But I don't know that anybody is really, like, ruling over that locker room with the gravitas of a Jerome Bettis or a James Ferrer. However, we had a caller yesterday to the PM show, Todd, and I think he has the answer to all of this as far as Pickens goes. Here's Todd from yesterday.
Does anybody anymore in a locker room, like, you know, TJ or Cam come up to him and say, hey, what are you doing?
Sound like Todd Haley.
I want to hear that again, Mark, and I want you to analyze this. This is Todd from Pittsburgh on George Pickens and what needs to happen here.
Does anybody anymore in a locker room, like, you know, TJ or Cam come up to him and say, hey, what are you doing?
Do you think that would work, Mark?
First of all, you didn't have to introduce him as Todd from Pittsburgh. I think his accent told us that he's from Pittsburgh.
That's a good point.
Hey, they don't want us in the locker room, so, you know, there's a reason why. I see a lot of comments saying, yeah, you don't need to be in that locker room, so we don't need to be in there, then I can't tell you that. But I don't know. There's a lot of closed doors, behind door stuff. They know when we're in there. But I would assume TJ and Cam, they're leaders, but they're not like the leaders, like you said, from 10, 15 years ago, where even the guys on the other side, like Maurkice Pouncey, if something was happening, Pouncey would go up and get in their face and just it would be over. I don't know if these guys lead that way, but those guys do. Watt and Cam do deserve. They garner respect from those guys. So maybe it's a different type of leadership. But
do you agree with Charlie Batch that there's no real leader on the offensive side, and that's one of the reasons they need Russell in there?
Well, they're so young. I mean, there's so much turnover and so young on that side. Who was really going to do it? Typically, that just falls to the quarterback. And when you have four different quarterbacks and 4 years, it's going to be hard to establish that. Now, I see guys try to do it. I know Freiermuth is going out of his way to try to become a leader, but I don't know if he has that personality to do it. You got a lot of the offensive linemen are quiet. Isaac Seumalo could be that guy, but he's very quiet. I mean, who's going to listen to any of the receivers who haven't been around? So there's not really many options there. One of the reasons why I think Mike Tomlin likes Russell Wilson. I mean, this is the guy that everything he does has a purpose in terms of leadership. I don't know if that helps you out on the field or not come, you know, whenever he gets out there, but he definitely has that machismo of leadership.
Wow. Machismo. Limits. You like that?
Bring out the thesaurus.
Hey, what do you, what do they say? Cut that for me or whatever. You could put that right next to, it was a joke.
Yeah.
Machismo.
Yeah, get that, machismo.
Machismo.
We can send Mark out with that line today if you can clip that, Limits. Hey, speaking of Freiermuth, was his quote the other day a veiled message to his buddy George Pickens? Somebody asked him about...
It was veiled. It was kind of obvious, right?
Somebody asked him about, you know, the game plan and his lack of targets, and Freiermuth said, and I quote, "Everybody can bitch and complain about getting a lack of targets, but it's the stuff you do without the ball. That's what leaders do." An obvious message to Pickens?
I don't know who else it could possibly be directed toward. I mean...
Does somebody get paid over there? Like, who's his official babysitter? He's had Broderick Jones on the sidelines, Russell Wilson, Cam Hayward a couple years ago. Did the Steelers, like, set aside money to pay somebody to be his babysitter?
Pickens?
Yeah.
Well, apparently nobody wants to be around him, at least during the game, what I saw. So
Broderick Jones went over there. I don't know if that's the guy I want mentoring him, but yeah.
A couple other guys didn't want anything to do with it at the time. Like I said, it could have been just circumstantial evidence right there, but it was quite telling that he was not happy and letting people know, and they were getting tired.
This is it's just getting ridiculous. Well, you know this guy. You've talked to him. He seems actually like he's
later too. So
what?
He's supposed to talk later today.
Oh,
you know, around 2:30. But I don't know if he might just skip out on it too.
It seems in a lot of ways when I hear him talk, like he has it together. Like is he just young? Is there a chance for him to turn it around? It's such a breach of trust with your teammates to half-ass it during games. It just is.
I mean, even last year when he didn't block and say, hey, I'm not going to do Tank Dell and get hurt. I mean, at the same time, you had Kenny Pickett having surgery just so he can potentially come back. You had Minka Fitzpatrick with a hand injury. You had T.J. Watt popping fingers back into place just to go out there and play. And your star receiver saying, yeah, I just didn't want to get hurt, so I'm not blocking for Jaylen Warren. That can't go over well in the locker room. So, yeah, it has to be the same situation. Yeah, I mean, they can't be happy with him, and I don't know. Are you going to change after 3 years? I mean, that was his M.O. coming in, and I don't think you're going to change. You either have to live with it. And I don't think he puts up the stats like Antonio Brown to live with it, or you move on from him.
Limits, may I engage Mark in a game of free association?
Yes, you may.
All right, here we go. And this is a big one, Mark. We need to move quickly here. Minka Fitzpatrick hasn't made a turnover play since Mulsey had hair. The single biggest reason he never gets a turnover anymore is what?
I think they're very worried about some of the deep balls, so they're playing a lot of center field with him. And when you're playing center field, that doesn't put you into position to make plays.
I thought playing center field was where you make the plays. It never hurt Ed Reed to play center field. Oh, now you're one of the guys who say, oh, they don't throw it toward Minka. Then explain to me this. Why were the Steelers among the worst teams in the league last year allowing pass plays of 20 or more yards?
Because Minka wasn't playing deep center field.
Okay, so which is it? Is it because he wasn't or because he is?
This year they're trying to prevent that, so they're letting him play the center field and having Elliott more of that box safety type of guy. I mean, is that the correct decision? Probably not. I want the guy to make plays, but that's their decision. And that might change this week because they're going to need some people to make some plays.
So he didn't make plays last year because he wasn't in center field, and he's not making plays this year because he is in center field?
Sounds about right to me.
It sounds very confusing to me.
He's playing a lot more deep center this year than I think last year. I think what they needed to do is go back a couple years when he played, you know, a lot of that robber type of stuff, that freelance type of stuff where he was able to make plays, but they also did give up some plays there. I mean, I think they think they're too good up front, that they just need him to be hold it down in the deep back end. And
they stink up front. They've been pushed around by the Colts and Cowboys. They stink all over the place.
But they didn't have Jeremiah Moon and Oke and Ade.
That's just my next question, Mark, and hold on while I phrase it properly. Who has the bigger impact on this game?
Man, it's a big day, maybe for some edge rushers like Ade and Eko, man, who just got here.
Well, there's your choices. Ade or Eko, whoever they are, who has the bigger impact on the game?
Oh, the one that's dressed. So I'm just going to say Ade because that's the only one I can think of. I'm going to have to actually go out to practice here when I hang up and actually look at Ade and Eko and see if they're any good.
Who has a bigger impact on this game, Jeremiah Moon or the guy who was playing wide receiver whose name I don't know who caught a pass the other day?
Oh, I called him Jericho Cautry because he had number 89, Brandon Johnson.
Brandon Johnson, yeah.
I would say Moon because he's actually going to probably get 80% of the snaps, right?
All right. Moon over Miami. All right. Percent chance that if the Steelers reach the Raiders 28 on their first drive and have a 3rd and 8, that they'll run a pitch out to a substitute teacher.
Joe. I would say that they might actually throw this time.
Yeah, that would be good. What did you make of that play in 5 words or less? This dude, I don't know his name either, was a substitute teacher in his recent past.
Champlin.
Champlin.
I think they saw points on the board and didn't trust Fields from getting sacked or fumbling or doing something bad. So let's get 3 yards and kick a field goal and tie the game up at 3. I think that's exactly what it was.
Pickens over under 99.5 receiving yards.
Over.
Pickens over under 0.5 touchdowns.
Over.
Najee Harris over under 0.2 yards per carry.
I think it'd be over.
You sure about that? Najee over under 0.5 touchdown runs.
under because they're going to just give it the Fields if they're that close.
All right. Thank you, Mark. No further questions. Do you have any other questions that I didn't hit on here? Limits?
I thought you were going to say over or under how many times George Pickens throws his helmet, but...
Keep that, 0.5. Oh, over under Pickens outburst, 0.5.
I think zero under because I think he knows people are watching. I don't know if he cares, but...
Zero. Okay, you'll go under on that. How about this percent chance he has the F word painted on some part of his body again this week?
Somebody's just going to have to let Tomlin know about the first one, though, because apparently he doesn't know anything about that.
Yeah, the only person in the world who watched the game who doesn't know.
Yeah, I want to know, did he have did he put that eye black on backwards? Because it looked like anyone and whatever. It seems like it should have been flipped around the other way. You sound like you talk like Yoda there.
Right, it should be always blanking open. Not
yeah, he put open blanking
always, right.
Always.
He did. He sounded
like Yoda.
He said, yeah, like Yoda.
Yeah.
Catch a touchdown pass, I will. Thank you, Limits. I mean, Kabali.
He definitely has that machismo.
Machismo.
That's a great one.
Throw my helmet on the bench, I shall. Okay, thank you. See you, buddy.
Right,
do you have that to send him out on? Limits?
Yeah, I just played it.
Oh, I didn't hear it.
He definitely has that machismo.
Oh, no.